The reality of life is kind of a sad story. The Bible's message is one, though, that says it doesn't have to end on a sad note. Sin is the reason why life is sad. It's called suffering. And we suffer because of sin in this world. Whether a Christian or an evildoer, you will suffer in this life. And we might as well learn to deal with it. But the only way to deal with it appropriately is in Christ. I want to give you a couple passages. One was actually mentioned tonight in the Bible study. You remember in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter says in verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Notice there again that you will suffer in this life. Whether a sinner or a saint, you are going to suffer. So if you're going to suffer, Peter says, do it as a Christian and don't be ashamed. Understand that suffering is a part of life. Of course, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12 that, "Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know, we live in a sin-filled world, and the Bible is a very graphic image. It gives us that graphic image of what sin is. And I want to give you that graphic image. I want you to hear it so that you can know that's what's going on in this world. But then ask yourself, where do you stand in this world? Look at the book of Isaiah for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 1. Sad commentary on the people of God when the prophet says, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 1, that the heavens and the earth, he says, "Give ear, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." And the entire chapter is about a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, in verse 4. He says in verse 5, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint." He says in verse 6, "There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." There's a sickness that's deep, and they're suffering because of their own sin. It's a wonderful opportunity, though, in verse 17 where it says, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." And there are practical examples of what we can do to overcome this wicked suffering due to our own sinfulness and the consequences thereof. Back up to verse 16. There's always this sense of redemption with God if we will do what's right. "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil." Verse 18, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God will purge you and cleanse you if you will do what's right. But I want to make a note here again. It does not mean you will not continue to suffer for righteousness' sake. Look at Isaiah 59 as we see further examples. I wish I had more time to go into chapter 3, chapter 4, and chapter 5 about the nation. But look at what the nation of God's people had turned to and what the nation looked like as a result of their sin. Chapter 59. Of course, we remember verses 1 and 2, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Now look at the suffering they were enduring because of sin. "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice." Now think about the sinful world we live in today that's suffering as a result of sin. These are God's people suffering as a result of sin and the reasons why. "None calleth for justice," in verse 4, "nor pleadeth for truth. nor pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. The web of their sin is just deep. Look at verse 7. Their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Verse 8. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Suffering because of their own sin. Again, look at Romans chapter 1. Now I want to kind of transition to the invitation part of the lesson. I want you to look at the ugly nature of sin in the book of Romans. You may remember that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about how he was a chief of sinners. Verse 15 in particular. He talks about how in himself God is going to use him as an example of how to overcome, and how Paul would suffer for righteousness' sake and explain and demonstrate the example of suffering as a Christian and what it means to be a Christian. Suffering would still be a part of the Apostle Paul's life. But look at Romans chapter 1 as Paul describes this suffering for righteousness. Chapter 1, he talks about the ugliness of sin, again, similar to the book of Isaiah, and he talks about the nations in verse 18 and following. You know, well, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in men. Man is the crown of God's creation. Whether a sinner or a saint, man is the crown of God's creation, and that's who the truth has been revealed to. Man will suffer in this life. Animals don't understand. They suffer, and we feel sorry for animals, but just a quick illustration. Animals, they're not like you and me. They don't understand it. And a lot of times we say, put them out of their misery. But we don't say that to people. I hope you don't look at someone and say, man, just put them out of their misery. And maybe you feel like that sometimes, but the reality is life is precious for the human soul. It's precious in His sight, all His saints. And the death of the saint is very precious in His sight, according to the book of Revelation. But nonetheless, continue with me just for a moment. In Romans chapter 1, we understand, look at verse 26. For the cause of God, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is unnatural, against nature, and likewise also men. So we see the world we live in, and we see suffering on the hand of the wicked. We see disease, we see suffering on the hand of the wicked. But now look at what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1. And again, talking to godly people, Christians, he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. Apparently, those at Rome, while condemning the world and all the sickness and the suffering, they themselves are guilty of the same things. And Paul says, that's a terrible condition to be a hypocrite. It's a terrible condition. Now let me just quickly say what you already know, chapter 3, verse 23. Chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul is summarizing a great point, as Isaiah was summarizing a great point. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now look at chapter 8, talking about suffering. Verse 1, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who will walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Chapter 8 is a matter of making a choice. How are you going to suffer in this life? Remember, Peter said, you're going to suffer. Don't suffer as a sinner. If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed of it. Do you remember Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Why? It's the power of God and salvation. Hang on to it. That same thing here we just read in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. The gospel will help you get through this life of suffering. Now look at the end of chapter 8. Remember, Paul said, I am the chief of sinners, and in me, chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verse 15, God's going to use me as an example. And Paul suffered greatly in the flesh, did he not? He wrote a lot about that. But he showed us how to suffer as a Christian. Look at what Paul says to you and me and Christians today. Chapter 8, the end of the chapter, starting at verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's always been in the mind of God that if you're going to get through this life, the only way to get through it is in Christ, conformed to His image, which is the godly image, the only image that will save your soul and get you through this life of suffering. Continue with me in chapter 8. Look at verse 33. Who's going to lay anything to your charge? To the charge of God's elect. Is God that justifieth? Why are you worried about all this, these problems in the world? You're on God's side. Look at the next verse. Who is it that condemneth thee? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you. Okay, so you're suffering in this life. Don't be ashamed of that. You're a Christian. You're supposed to be suffering. They're suffering too, but don't suffer like them. And just look at the end of the chapter. Who shall separate us, in verse 35, from the love of Christ? Here's suffering, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Is that going to separate you from Christ? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus Christ. How are you suffering in this world? You know what? I see a lot of suffering. You do too. I see wickedness. I see homosexuality. I see the same things you see. We can talk about that all day long. And I want you to know they're going to suffer. And if they don't change their life and learn to suffer for Christ, they're going to suffer eternally. And that's terrible. But not me. Not you. Sure, we're going to suffer in this life if we're living faithful in Christ Jesus. That's part of it. It shapes us and molds us. And it helps others see how to get through this life by doing the right things. So how are you suffering in this world? I hope that you're on Christ's side. But don't suffer as a sinner. That's a terrible end. And there's no hope when you meet that end. For you or me as a Christian, though, there is. And so I ask you, are you a child of God? Have you repented of your sins? Have you decided to follow Jesus by confessing Him before men publicly and being immersed in water for the remission of your sins? If you'll do that, I'm not promising you a rose garden. You're going to suffer in this life, but you're going to suffer as a sinner too. In Christ, you have hope. In the world, you have no hope. What will your decision be? If we can help you in any way, won't you let us know? This is the invitation of the Lord. As together we stand and we sing, won't you come?